Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Don't forget, if you can't catch us live each day, we're available as a podcast on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. And I'll tell you what, does anyone remember 2 years ago today what we were all doing, what we were all on edge about? In fact, that day, Lee Kelly and I think we were on the air. At one time we had it down almost to the minute. I think that day we were on air 8 or 9 hours that day. And if you can't recall what it was, and I think many of you probably can, especially listening locally, 2 years ago today was when Romeo Langford held the big to-do at New Albany High School, packed with media, packed with fans. It wasn't full, but there were 2,000 people there. With bleachers and other folks on the floor and standing around, and got up and ultimately picked Indiana and announced that he would attend Indiana University. And it was probably one of the more suspenseful recruitments that I've followed. Of course, I'm in New Albany. I know Romeo. We all follow him very closely. But no one really knew for sure, at least very, very, very few people knew for sure that day, going into the announcement where he was going to commit, which school he was going to pick at that ceremony. But I have, you know, I've been to many when an athlete announces. I've watched a lot of them over the years online, or even now, you know, some of the big names commit on ESPN. But I've never been or seen one like Romeo's, with the crowd and the interest and the buildup. And it was just an amazing day, really. Not just the IU commitment at the end, but just the whole culmination, I think is the better word, of what it was and what his recruiting was and what he meant to the area. But what a day it was. And again, just to kind of highlight from a personal standpoint, Lee Kelly and I came on the air, I want to say, at like 10 a.m. that day. So we did a 2-hour or 3-hour edition of this program where we interviewed, I think we had his dad on that day. We had some different media guests to talk about their thoughts and predictions on where he might go. And then we quickly transitioned from the studio here at the Big X over to New Albany High School. We set up shop on the catwalk there, and we weren't the only radio station there. There were at least maybe one or two others. And we started broadcasting from there. There were so many great people to talk to. There were so many media members there, and just different people from the high school and Coach Shannon and other people that really made a lot of sense to talk to in the buildup of this thing. And so we came on live from New Albany, did like a pre-show to the announcement. Then when he made his announcement, and another sidebar to this, our broadcast was live on the Big X, so 1450 and 96.1, and we were streaming as well. It also was being simulcasted on our friendly sister station, ESPN 680 and 93.9 The Ville, and the streams crashed. I know at least it did on the Big X side of things. People listening out of town, they couldn't get on. They couldn't. It just absolutely kept going down. So it was an unbelievable listenership that day. Once Romeo made the decision, Zach McCrite was with us. He was down on the floor with interviews and had a wireless mic. We were able to get Romeo's comments afterwards. Once he made his decision, Lee and I packed the equipment up. We came back to Jeffersonville, and set up at Hoopsters in Jeff and did, oh, I guess a recap show. Jim Shannon came and joined us there. We just was kind of a real laid-back conversation about the day and just a special time. There were some fans there, and it had really been packed when the announcement was made. But by the time we got there, not as many. But still, just a full day of coverage, and that's the most I've ever been, probably ever will be, on the radio live in one day. But what a unique day it was. And, of course, from that point forward, Romeo to Indiana, and now Romeo to Boston. And it's amazing how often he comes up in conversation on this show, no matter if he's playing for the Celtics, not playing, you know, going back and forth between Maine. And, of course, right now nothing's going on with Romeo or the NBA, but we still follow basically every move that he makes because of who he is, not only as a player, but how he was as a kid and as a young adult in our Southern Indiana area. So just thought that would be something fun to open the show up with. It was an unbelievable day and a big day for Indiana and a big day for people locally. And just never thought I would see 2,000 plus people, maybe 3,000, I'm not sure, gathered together for the 30-second announcement when it's all said and done and you get right down to it of where a high school senior is going to play college basketball. But we got that 2 years ago on this day when Romeo Langford committed to Indiana. Let's jump into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Today we've got our Zaxby's headlines in segment number one coming up here in just moments. We'll take a look at the new ESPN Top 60. Tell you where some of the Indiana guys are at in this new ranking in just a moment. Also, take a look at a new name in the transfer portal that I think is of interest. I'm not at all saying this name will be an IU possibility, but just a name of interest. And a couple other things in our headlines coming up here in just a moment. Later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He's with us as always. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll go back and talk a little bit about Romeo Langford and some other things in this time as well. And then in the final part of the show, I don't know how much of it we'll be able to squeeze in, but I've told you a couple times, Chris May, the director of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, he and I, during this coronavirus down period for all of us, have started a podcast. It's called the Indiana High School Hoops Podcast with Dennison and May. And our very first episode was, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was J.R. Holmes, the state's all-time winningest coach, and he's still an active coach in our state, which is even more crazy about that title that he carries. And also with Anthony Leal, Mr. Basketball. We've had Anthony on this show throughout his recruitment a number of times, and of course, once he committed to Indiana as well. But Anthony Leal joined us on that podcast, had some interesting things to say, and so depending on how much time we have left after Alex, we're going to replay some or all of that. I doubt that many of you have heard that podcast unless you listen to that or subscribe to that online. But the podcast itself is, we've been putting it out a couple times a week. We just talk with good coaches from across the state that have great resumes, that have had lots of success. J.R. Holmes at Bloomington South, Chris Johnson at Homestead, Doug Ogle, the retiring coach at Warsaw, is the latest edition that's going to be released later today. Ryan Osborne of Carmel, Jerry Hoover and Luke Brown, his star player at Blackford. Those are some of the ones that we've done so far. We've got Brandon Hoffman and Trey Kaufman going to be on one of the editions of that podcast coming up very soon. So if you like podcasts and you listen to them at work or when you're driving, it might be a good one for you to subscribe to. It's the Indiana High School Hoops Podcast with Dennison and May. And we'll have a portion of that interview with Anthony Leal, depending on what time we have left in this hour, later in the show today. All right, then, that's the show lineup. We also have our senior spotlight today, and we're going to focus on a Jeffersonville baseball player today, Connor Farnsley, in our final segment as well. So we'll have another senior spotlight once again for you today on this program. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany, and with a $15 purchase, you purchase anything at the store, $15 or more, you can get a large bone-in ham at 50% off. Again, a large bone-in ham at 50% off if you have a purchase of $15 or more at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also follow us on Facebook, search The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Like it, leave a message there, follow our podcast there, get announcements on the show there, and you can stay up with everything that we have going on. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with a location, of course, in Jeffersonville and New Albany. New ESPN Top 60. It's called the ESPN 60 for the 2021 class. So these are guys that are going to be seniors when school resumes, we hope, at the end of the summer into the fall. And, of course, high school basketball starting in November. A couple Indiana guys on the list. Christian Lander is ranked number 12, the 6'1" guard at Evansville Wrights. And, of course, we all know he, it appears, by all accounts, is working to reclassify to the 2020 class so he could be done with high school at some point this summer and be on the IU campus whenever athletes, students are allowed to return to the Bloomington campus. We know now, currently, I think it's through, is it July 30th? We know that most summer events and activities and summer classes are now canceled or have been moved to a virtual status. But Christian Lander, he's number 12. The only other Indiana guy on the list is Caleb First, who's committed to Purdue. There's no Trey Kaufman, no one else from this really talented 2021 class in Indiana. Caleb First comes in at number 34 on the list as well. There maybe are a couple other names on there that are names Indiana is somewhat active with or has made contact with, but nothing terribly serious. So no Trey Kaufman, I think, is kind of my biggest takeaway. He's been trending upwards in the national spotlight of high school hoops and recruiting conversations, got a Virginia offer, has interest from Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke. And, of course, we've talked a lot about will those offers come for him even without a spring and or possibly a summer evaluation period. But he was not in the top 60 released yesterday by ESPN. One other headline very quickly, a new name in the transfer portal. We're kind of getting late. Damese Anderson last week, we're at the end of April, the first day of May coming up tomorrow. This is a name that I saw yesterday. This young man made an announcement on social media that he was leaving Miami of Ohio. He's from Indianapolis. He is a junior, and his name is Nike, and I hope I say his last name right, but his first name is Nike, like the shoe. Nike Sabandi, I believe is how you pronounce it. Don't hold me responsible if I'm wrong. 6'4", 183 pounds. He's a guard. He averaged just about 14 points and 6 rebounds last season for Miami of Ohio. One of those players in high school I remember watching in summer ball and with his high school team maybe once or twice, and you thought, boy, this guy is really loaded with talent. What level could he play at? And ended up going to Miami of Ohio, has done really well there. Entering the portal, would be interested to see where he lands. I've got to believe there will be some high majors that jump in on him, given what he was able to do at Miami of Ohio, also given his size at 6'4" and at a guard position. I don't have any understanding yet or know if he fits Archie Miller's style or game plan, but it is a name with an Indiana connection from Indianapolis that I would have to believe is only leaving because he'd like to play at a higher level. And so it'll be interesting to see it all if Indiana makes contact or when he updates his recruitment, if Indiana is mentioned as a possible home for Nike Sabandi. That is our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget, still ahead, we have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Also, we'll talk later in the show, or we'll have amount of a replay with Anthony Leal coming up here in just a bit. Also, our senior spotlight today, I told you earlier, it's going to be Connor Farnsley of Jeffersonville Baseball. We're recognizing as many seniors that play a spring sport as we possibly can. So make sure if you're a coach or a player or a parent, you can follow me on Twitter and find out how to nominate them so we can get all the information we need to profile them here on this very program. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich and talk IU basketball. We'll reminisce about Romeo Langford and his a signing announcement he made 2 years ago on this very day, and talk some other topics as well. That all still ahead and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is always my guest in this segment, and we talk IU basketball, college hoops, and sometimes even more. And today, I did this at the top of the show. I saw your tweet, in fact, Alex, this morning, had I not remembered otherwise. But Romeo Langford, this day 2 years ago, committed to Indiana, and what a day it was. I've never seen or been a part of or been in attendance or even watched a signing announcement that came anywhere close to the drama and suspense and, of course, crowd and fan support that Romeo Langford had on that day at New Albany High School.
Yeah, it was quite a scene. It's hard to believe that it was already 2 years ago, but I remember that day and just the atmosphere and everybody who was there. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen in terms of the amount of folks who showed up just to watch a kid give his announcement. But I think as you started to see the gym fill up, you kind of got a sense that it was going to go in Indiana's direction, even as Langford liked to keep some suspense to the process. I always came back to the fact that they were doing it in such a public manner, the announcement, and that kind of gave me confidence that day that it was going to be Indiana. But yeah, it's still one of the more memorable moments that I can recall in terms of recruiting since I started Inside the Hall back in 2007. I think that decision and the Cody Zeller are the two that really kind of stand out. The James Blackman one, too, when he recommitted after decommitting and then picking IU over Kentucky. I remember that one on ESPN. That was a pretty big deal, too. But I think the Zeller and the Langford moments are two that really stand out from a recruiting perspective.
I guess with the Romeo deal, with so many fans there in the gym, not full, but a terrific crowd, and of course, people seated on the floor and people seated in the stands, and the throng of media that was there from Indianapolis and locally, it just was amazing. And I told a story earlier that we were broadcasting like 8 or 9 hours live that day, and the actual announcement part of it was on multiple – our broadcast was essentially going out to multiple stations – and the stream crashed, and people were complaining because out-of-town folks that were relying on that to watch or listen or to our pregame sort of coverage could not do so. But it was what you would expect. I don't think any of us were surprised that live here, that know what the storyline Romeo was game in and game out basically every week during the season and even outside of the season as well. It was kind of the fitting ending to his career at New Albany, passing the torch from high school ball to the next level in college. To see that many people come out for him to get that kind of support, as really that's what he had gotten his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I guess none of us should have been surprised by the amount of people that showed up for it based on the crowds that New Albany had for several years for their games, not only at home but on the road, everywhere they went. It was like a rock band going to different cities and having big crowds everywhere. That's kind of what Romeo Langford was to Indiana high school basketball. So, yeah, it's it's one of those things that I think I'll always remember. You know, his career at IU maybe didn't turn out exactly how everyone would hoped in terms of team success, but it's one of those, I think, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, people will look back on his high school career and the fact that he went to IU, and they'll remember the time that they got to watch him play. And it'll be just as people talk about Damon Bailey and players before that, I think for our generation, he was the closest thing that we saw around this time for a true superstar in high school basketball in Indiana, at least.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest, talking little Romeo Langford to start off the segment. Let's get into a conversation, a topic that obviously yesterday was a big focal point of the show. Justin Smith, when the early entrant list came out on Sunday of underclassmen in college basketball that are at least considering or going to test the waters for the NBA and the NBA draft, his name was on the list. And I know he's got the athleticism and some of the tools that you need to be considered a professional NBA player down the road. But my assumption is that he's testing the waters. He's trying to learn what he can. He had an improved season this past year for Indiana and would want to step that up a couple more levels before I think he would be a legitimate person to be drafted in the first or second rounds. Do you read it that way, and do you feel like this is probably just all educational for Justin Smith with this opportunity to test the waters and talk with some agents and eventually some NBA personnel as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's no risk in doing what he's doing. It's basically free advice and potentially, conversations with whoever it is from NBA team that can give him any feedback. I mean, he's clearly not a player that's going to be drafted this year if he were to choose to go the professional route. But as I said, there's no risk in doing this. And, I've gotten some, tweets and different things said to me, like, why – he's not an NBA player. Why is he doing this? Well, I think a lot of it comes from people not understanding that, this is the way it's set up now. And last year, if you remember, not only did Romeo enter the draft, but Devontae Green and Al Durham and Justin Smith all declared. And all three of those guys, besides Romeo, were back. So there's over 200 guys declared. Only 60 get drafted. And so there's going to be some guys who stay in the draft and don't get picked. I just don't see Justin Smith being one of those guys. He's a very good student. I think he's going to be a huge part of Indiana's team next season, and I just don't see a reason that he would stay in the draft. But I also understand that this is the process that he has available to him, and he's taken full advantage of it, so I applaud him for doing that.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. A couple other things to get to. You had a story on Inside the Hall, I believe, yesterday, where you confirmed a couple more schedule opponents for Indiana. They're going to play Robert Morris and Nebraska-Omaha. Those games obviously will be played as guarantee games at Assembly Hall. No real big surprise there. You're always going to have opponents of that level, especially earlier in the season, to get things started. You think about Indiana's first, I think it was 7 or 8 games this year, came against mid-major or lower type opponents to start the year. What I'm just, and this is in Corona time and not in Corona time, I continue to just be amazed with these guarantee game amounts that the visiting team basically is paid to come in and get their butt beat. In most cases, that is. Nebraska, you write in your story, will be paid $95,000 to come to Bloomington, and Robert Morris will be just under that at $92,500, and those were contracts signed in late March that you were able to get a copy of. I didn't expect it to change. I guess that's a reasonable amount compared to other schools. But last week, you and I spent some time talking about college sports as a whole and how budgets are going to be already greatly affected. And depending on what happens with football and other sports, could be even more affected. Coaches and ADs are taking pay cuts and decreases, voluntary, basically. Staff at some athletic offices have been laid off. Some sports, I keep thinking to Cincinnati, their soccer program eliminated. And there's all sorts of rumors about what could happen with some sweeping changes across some conferences even. It's just amazing to me that you pay somebody $95,000 to come in and play a college basketball game. Not complaining. It's a common practice across college basketball, but, man, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to show you that how dependent some of these Division I programs are on playing these games. I mean, I think depending on how everything shakes out, you're still going to have your you know, top of the line programs. You know, while some cutbacks may have to be made and different things, concessions have to be made down the line in terms of staffing and the number of people that you have in your athletic department. It shows you that, you know, for programs like Robert Morris and Nebraska, Omaha, and any program that comes, you know, the 7 or 8, you know, depending on the year, could it be only 5 or 6 that come to Bloomington to play these type of games. I mean, they're dependent on being able to do this and go around the country and basically pay or get paid to lose. But then they take that money and they invest it in their program and they invest it in other programs around the school. I mean, these schools can't just go around playing other low major schools in non-conference. They have to go play at Indiana. They have to go play at Kentucky. They have to go play at Kansas or even, you know, some of the lesser named Power 5 schools, because that's the going rate and that's kind of how business is done. So they're largely dependent on these bigger programs continuing to be successful so that they can fund their various endeavors from an athletics perspective. And so you know, if for whatever reason, if next season doesn't go as planned or something like that happens, those are going to be the types of programs and athletic departments that are going to take a hit immediately, as opposed to a program like Indiana. The resources are going to be there one way or the other. It may not be business as usual, but they're going to be able to get by. Whereas these other schools that are highly dependent on these different types of things. It happens a lot in football, too, and the money there is a lot bigger. You see some of the contracts that are paid to play, schools like Alabama and different SEC schools and Big Ten. The money there is even higher. So, it's important that these types of things continue to go on. I mean, people might look at it and say, well, why are you paying the school to come play? Well, and the grand scheme of things, that it's really helpful to those smaller schools to be able to have that opportunity, not only for the kids to be able to come play at IU, but also for them to just to be able to continue to have sports at the level they're having it.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, one question that we continue to talk about with IU's roster for next season is what happens with the open scholarships. And we're going to assume at this point, based on continuous comments in different interviews from Christian Lander, that he is working and hopeful that he can become take one of those scholarships as a member of the 2020 class. And if that happens, that leaves one open scholarship. Now, it doesn't have to be filled. That's, you know, something worth noting. But there are still some names in the transfer portal, and you just never know, especially in this time of the virus, what could happen and late movements. And it's just kind of an unknown on top of already a situation that seems to go later and later each year. With that said, there was a new name that entered the portal yesterday, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Nike Sabandi. Sabandi, am I pronouncing it right, Alex, or do you know?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I remember seeing him in AAU ball and thinking, You know, this kid, he's raw. He's got some real potential. Of course, now he's 6'4" and plays the guard position, basically. I've got to believe him leaving Miami of Ohio, averaging 14 points, 6 rebounds a game last season. He wants to play at a higher level. Could he be? I don't think any of us have any confirmation to really answer this with any fact, but you wonder, with an Indy connection and has raised his level each year of his college basketball career in a solid mid-major program, if maybe he could be someone on the radar for a Big Ten school or maybe even Indiana specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw that name and it caught my eye that, you know, he was transferring. At this point, I think Indiana, we actually talked about this on the podcast that we released today. It almost seems like to me, if Lander can reclass, they're pretty well set almost at every position on the roster. Now, I would think if there's a chance maybe to get a sit-out transfer or somebody. I don't know what this kid's status is. I'm assuming, though, that most kids are transferring now. If they're not a grad transfer, they're going to try to get a waiver to play right away. But I think if Lander does come next season, Indiana's in a pretty good spot in terms of its roster and the makeup of its roster. They'll be pretty well-stocked at the guard position. They're obviously going to be really talented in the front court with Trace Jackson Davis, Joey Brunk, Race Thompson, Jerome Hunter, Justin Smith. I mean, just kind of go down the list. They have a lot of depth So we'll see. I mean, I think right now college coaches don't have much else to do besides call and try to figure things out and recruit guys and have as many conversations as possible because they're not working with their teams. They're not going into their offices in most cases. And so, you know, I would think that he's a player that's going to have a ton of interest from not only from Big Ten schools but from around the country. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that shakes out. And a tough break, obviously, for Miami of Ohio. That's kind of the thing that we don't ever talk about sometimes with these transfers is the schools that recruited these kids and they developed them and then lose them to bigger universities. That has to be frustrating. I think, isn't Miami, Ohio's coach one of the former Purdue assistants?
Yes.
Owen?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So not a probably won't make him very happy if that kid ends up going to the Big Ten school, I wouldn't imagine.
And it looks like Nike is a 3-year player, so he would be a graduate transfer for fourth year as long as he's got all of his other requirements in tow. A question from Mike. He writes in on our Facebook page, any word on Demezi Anderson as far as where he will go or who is interested in him? Alex, I've not seen Demezi tweet or say anything as far as who he's considering or what schools have contacted him.
I think he did one interview afterwards, and no schools were discussed. He tried to reach out a couple times and hadn't heard back from him, so I'm just assuming that he's probably still trying to finish up his schoolwork for this semester and probably going to be a little bit before he digs too deep into the process. So I don't know. I mean, I would think that he's probably going to go to I wouldn't be shocked to see him end up in a high major, but I would think if he wants to have the role that he kind of talked about in the one interview that he did do, I think going to the mid-major level might be better for him to kind of have the opportunity to play the minutes and have the role that he's looking forward to.
Alex, final thing I want to chat with you about today is the name, image, and likeness has been a big discussion about college basketball and the NCAA now for a long period of time. It seems to really pick up traction with each and every year that passes. And the NCAA, with an announcement about that earlier in the week, and that really in this slow time has taken on a big discussion when you think about sports and some of the discussions we can have. That looks more and more like something that's going to really be considered and could possibly come into play sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's definitely coming quickly. I think there's going to be obviously an adjustment period. Still a lot to learn, but you know, the NCAA had its hand forced because a lot of states said that they were going to, you know, basically mandate that these guys could be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, which is something that I think should have been done a long time ago. And so the NCAA realized that it was going to be a complete disaster to try to manage a process where it was illegal in certain states, and so they had to try to come to an agreement. We'll see if there's still challenges from other states to see if they can, if there's certain things that maybe won't be allowed or certain things that aren't made explicitly clear in this legislation from the NCAA. We'll see if other states try to challenge some certain things, if they try to control it still to an extent, but it's definitely coming, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I mean, I think there will be value in it from an IU perspective for kids who come from the state of Indiana that go play at IU. I think they'll have some opportunities to be able to do things, whether that be having camps with their names on them or signing autographs, things like that. I mean, that's definitely not going to be life-changing money, but as a college kid, I think those would be opportunities that a lot of those guys would definitely want to take advantage of. In a state like Indiana, where basketball is king, I think Indiana can actually stand to do pretty well off of this in terms of using it as a recruiting tool, because people know. I mean, just imagine if when Romeo went to IU, if he would have been able to profit off his name, image, and likeness, there would have been a ton of opportunities for him.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, as always, thank you for the chat. Always fun to catch up, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Matt. Thanks. Have a good one.
I do want to pass this along. One really good social media or Twitter message, excuse me, from Paula. a longtime listener of the show. She says, I was in the crowd at the high school watching the Romeo show. What I remember is one guy walking across the gym in a Vanderbilt shirt. He got booed, and then the media wanted to interview him. I remember that as well, Paul. That was pretty funny. He did get booed, I think, pretty loud as well in the doghouse on that day. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Going to play a little bit of an interview for you from Anthony Leal. This is from a podcast that Chris May and I did about a week, 2 weeks ago with Anthony and his high school coach. We'll have a portion of that to close the show out. And also our senior spotlight still ahead. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on our Thursday program. As we went to break, I read a message from Paula that talked about the guy or kid in a Vanderbilt shirt at the Romeo Langford signing. They got booed that day. Mr. Sullivan, it's amazing what you can find out here on the Hoosier Report. Mr. Sullivan from New Albany High School, he's the radio television instructor there. He writes that Duncan Manger, he was the kid in the Vandy shirt. He was a senior in WNAS, which is the high school's radio station at the time. Family are big Purdue fans, and he wore it to mess with his buddies that were IU fans. He wrote that Duncan was in Romeo's second period class and was good friends with him. So we thought it was just a random guy getting booed. It wasn't. It was probably one of Romeo's friends, Paula, that ultimately getting booed. But just fun to think back on that day. And a couple others have wrote in as well that were there with their memories or thoughts, and I appreciate you sending those in. But that is a funny conclusion to the Vanderbilt fan at the Romeo signing that day. All right, let's replay a little bit of a nice interview that Chris May and I did with Anthony Leal of Bloomington South. This was for our Indiana High School Hoops podcast with Dennison and May that we started during the coronavirus time to kind of pass some time, to be quite honest with you. And we've had lots of good conversations with coaches. And if the coach has a really good player, like a Mr. Basketball candidate, we'll often have the player on after the coach. And so we've had, I think we're episode, what, 6 or 7 right now. So if you want to hear those, you can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, and you can find the different guests that we've had as we kind of go all around the state. It's not just a Southern Indiana thing. So been a lot of fun. Our very first one, Coach Holmes of Bloomington South, and Anthony Leal. This is right after, I think it was the day after he had been named Mr. Basketball, to be quite honest with you. Here is a portion of that interview with Anthony Leal. Then after this, we'll have our senior spotlight to close out the show today. Anthony Leal. Do we have it, Doug?
Technical problems. Let me try to get it up.
All right. Again. We'll try to get that queued back up for you, but we're going to have at least a portion of this Anthony Leal interview coming up here, we think, in just a few minutes, and then we'll have our senior spotlight to close out the program today. So Doug is going to cue that up if you hear some noise in the background, getting that interview ready for you. Do want to remind you, while we have a moment, that we'll be back Friday at 11 a.m. for our show. Of course, this is weekdays, 11 a.m., and we'll be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call and also Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll have that for you in the Friday show. And, of course, another senior spotlight. Each day we do a senior spotlight. We recognize someone, a local spring sport athlete, that has had their senior season basically stripped and taken away from them because of the pandemic that we currently find ourselves in. And now we have Anthony Leal. Then we'll get to our senior spotlight for today. Doug, go ahead and play the Anthony Leal clip.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
So, Anthony, let me ask the most obvious question. What's it feel like to be Indiana's Mr. Basketball?
It's still pretty surreal. I mean, because obviously growing up, you know, all the names that have been able to achieve the award, just looking at that list is incredible just to know that I'm a part of it now. But it also means that I've got some shoes to fill and I have a lot of work left to do.
Anthony Leal of Bloomington South with us. Anthony, I want to go back to the end of the season. Bloomington South undefeated, 26-0, playing some great basketball, you as well, and number one in Class 4A. We found out that the season would ultimately be canceled because of the coronavirus situation. And we asked Coach Holmes what that was like, how he told you guys, and some of the situations surrounding that. But as the leader of this Bloomington South team and as a senior, how difficult was that news for you and for your teammates, especially the other seniors?
Yeah, it was heartbreaking for us. I mean, whenever the regional first got postponed, we were kind of still hopeful, so we went and got together and played some pickup over at our school. But once we found out it was actually completely canceled, it all just hit me at once that it was actually over and we weren't going to be able to finish it. But it was hard for me and the rest of the guys, just because we had something really special going, and we really truly believed that if we had four more opportunities that we could win all four of them. So it was really tough on all of us, but you know, we kind of had to try to move forward from what we could.
That was really my next question is, no one will ultimately know the correct answer, but you feel like your team could have or should have been state champions this season?
Yeah, of course. I think we peaked at the perfect time, and I think that we were playing basketball that's really hard to stop because of how balanced we were, and I think that we were ultra confident in what we were doing at the time. So I really do believe that we would have been able to finish it out.
Anthony, you've been around the Bloomington South program for many years. Even as a young kid, you were at the games, you knew the players, you were right there in Bloomington. Same thing in many ways with the IU program as well. So you got to see some of Coach Holmes's great teams and great players that came before you. How would you compare this Bloomington South team with some of those other great players and some of those other state championship teams or state championship caliber teams that Bloomington High School South has had over the years?
Yeah, I think we're right up there with them. I mean, obviously we're never going to be able to say that we won a state championship just like they did in 2009 and 2011, but I think that if you really look at the rosters and you look at the way that everything was played out, I really think that we would have been able to compete with them, if not beat them, just because of how balanced and how well we played together as a group. So I think in that regard, we definitely were right up there with them. We just unfortunately won't be able to hang a banner like they did.
Anthony, I really want to go back to the Mr. Basketball announcement and the news. So why don't you fill in our listeners? When did you find out? How did you find out? What was your first reaction? How does your family react? All those sorts of things.
Yeah, so I was in the middle of a workout on Wednesday morning when Coach Holmes called me, and he kind of let me know, and I was really speechless. And then I tried to get back to my workout, and it wasn't as productive after I found out, just because I was kind of in shock. But after my workout and after Coach Holmes let me know, I went home and broke the news to my family and just made it, had to tell them that we can't spread the news yet because it hadn't been publicly noticed. So we just kind of were all really happy together, had a big group hug as a family, talked a little bit. Everyone was really happy, and then we had to get a picture taken and get an article ready for the Indy Star to be able to post. But it was a really special moment, and especially seeing it become public news yesterday, it really kind of brought it all full circle, and it was really just a really special time.
So I've got to ask you as well. I mean, I think every kid who grows up and plays high school basketball in Indiana dreams of being Mr. Basketball, but for very few, it's a realistic possibility. I mean, for you, was there ever a moment, an occasion? I mean, when did that become a goal, if that was a goal of yours?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to be a lot of kids' goals just because of what it means to have that kind of award. But it never really, like, dawned on me that it could be something that I could potentially win if I were to keep getting better until the Hall of Fame Classic whenever I was a sophomore, where we got to play there. Just, like, going to the museum and seeing all the history and all the names and the pictures and the autographs and all that kind of stuff and the list of people that won it before me, I was like, wow, you know, if this was something I'd be able to accomplish, I could be, you know, remembered forever. So I think that was the first time it kind of dawned on me. But Coach Holmes was always really good at making sure I knew that team success was going to be the best way to achieve that goal. So I had to be able to put myself behind the team.
Anthony, that's probably the best answer you could have gave the director of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, Chris May. I'm sure your answer there put a big smile on his face. But continuing on with Mr. Basketball and the Indiana All-Stars, obviously, Anthony, this coronavirus has affected a lot, not just in sports, but in public health and safety and deaths across the country, and it's very, very concerning to all of us. One of the things that's going to be lost because of this virus, like most sporting events, whether it's a professional or all the way down to amateur high school, AAU stuff, a lot of it's going to be lost this spring and summer. And so the Indiana-Kentucky series, all the things that go around that series, it's all been canceled because of the coronavirus. This is obviously still a big award. This is obviously something that will go down in the record books no matter if the games are played or not. Is that kind of a double whammy, another kick to the gut maybe, that these All-Star games have been canceled your senior year? And kind of your reaction to that as we're in the middle of this health crisis?
Yeah, I mean, it's another thing in the long list of stuff that this group of seniors along with me are going to have to live without, because it's just the way that things are right now. And I think it's really sad for all of us just that we don't get to have some of those big memories that everyone remembers for the rest of their lives as seniors. So I'm kind of sad about that, just because, you know, it's supposed to be really special times for all of us, the time after our high school season that kind of lets us transfer into college by playing in the All-Star game and that kind of stuff. So it is really sad that we won't get to do that. But the brightest way to think about it is just that there's 64 groups of seniors around the state that are going to get to end their high school careers with a win. So I think that that's really special as well.
And again, that's Anthony Lille, an interview from a few weeks ago with the myself and Chris May hosting him and Coach Holmes. It was episode one of our new Indiana High School Hoops podcast that you can find on Twitter if you follow me at Hoosier Hills. All right, let's wrap up this Thursday show. It's a fun way to do this, the senior spotlight for spring sport athletes in Clark and Floyd counties that have had their final season taken away from them because of the pandemic that we find ourselves in. And today, Connor Farnsley of Jeffersonville High School is the athlete that we are going to profile. Connor Farnsley is a baseball player, plays for Coach Ellis at Jeffersonville High School. Athletically, he's played varsity since his sophomore year, which is a big accomplishment at Jeff. It's always a strong baseball program, and they've been in the middle of some really, really good teams right now. They won sectional, did Connor, two times in a row, two seasons in a row. Hoosier Hills Conference champions 3 years in a row at Jeffersonville. Academically, his class load at Jeffersonville is mostly honors classes, and he has a 3.95 GPA. Other information about Connor that you may not know: he loves helping others and putting a smile on other people's faces, he writes. He says, "I've always put others before myself. I'm a strong believer in God and go to Southeast Christian Church." He wanted to give a few shout-outs to people in his sports and life that have helped him. He said, "I would love to thank each and every coach that has ever coached me throughout my childhood. I would also like to specifically thank my mom for everything she's done to push me to be the man and player I am today." Connor Farnsley is the son of Angela Walter. Is his mom. His father is Jesse Farnsley, and his stepdad is Jim Walter. After high school, Connor plans to attend college and play baseball. He also wants to study sports management. He does not know his college destination as of today, but hopes to figure all that out very soon. So Connor Farnsley of Jeffersonville Baseball, a senior, congratulations on some great, great years with the Red Devils. They have had a really special run here in recent seasons and have been at the very top of the heap in high school baseball in our area and really in the state as well. A great time to be a member of that team. We recognize your hard work, even out of season. We know you've been getting ready for this final year of high school baseball, really all school year long. And so we are so very sorry that because of COVID, you won't be able to have a senior season or experience those memories. But we wanted to do our small part in recognizing you for the great career that you've had. Again, Connor Farnsley, our senior spotlight today for spring sport athletes here in Clark and Floyd counties. That wraps up the Thursday program. I'll return at 11 a.m. Friday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.